Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that influences ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and today we're talking to Dr. Stephanie Kasten, co-author of the iFormRx commentary about the use of fish oil in patients with rheumatoid arthritis. The study which Dr. Kasten and Art Shuna critiqued appeared in the Annals of Rheumatic Diseases. So thanks for joining us today, Stephanie, for the iFormRx podcast.
Happy to be here.
So, Stephanie, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study by Susanna Proudman and her colleagues regarding the use of fish oil for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis to someone who hasn't read the paper yet, what would you say?
I'd say this study suggests that liquid fish oil, approximately 3.7 grams per day, may be of benefit in combination with triple DMARD therapy, which included methotrexate, sulfasalazine, and hydroxychloroquine for patients with early onset rheumatoid arthritis. It prevented or delayed the need for additional therapy, such as leflunomide and anti-TNF agents. The time to first disease state remission was significantly less, and participants were twice as likely to meet American College of Rheumatology criteria for remission with the use of fish oil. There was no difference in adverse event profile throughout the 52-week study. And the results of this study support the use of fish oil in this particular population and may lead to cost avoidance, improved patient outcomes, and prevent exposure to agents with extensive adverse event profiles.
So this study was a relatively small one with only 140 participants. It was conducted at centers in South Australia, so not a particularly diverse population. And the external validity of the study certainly can be questioned until we have confirmatory data in other patient populations. In critically examining this study, what would you say are the key strengths and weaknesses?
This study did have a number of strengths that I noted. The researchers used a defined treatment algorithm, which helps to standardize evaluation of drug therapy within a particular population. And I liked that they discontinued steroids or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications as ABLE at baseline and avoided their use throughout the study. Given the similar mechanisms of action between fish oil and NSAIDs, by avoiding their use, the researchers took out a potentially confounding variable. The criteria chosen for the study inclusion and exclusion was very appropriate for the disease state and result of interest. The baseline characteristics of the study populations were very similar, another notable strength. And any difference that could possibly alter outcomes were accounted for and adjusted in their analysis. Other things that I noted with their design, I felt that they appropriately used the American College of Rheumatology criteria for remission, despite being a study conducted in Australia. I also liked that they addressed adherence. And I like that they included this because this is a medication that does have the potential to affect adherence, given its gastrointestinal side effect profile. And while this study did have a number of strengths, there were a few limitations as well. The sample size was relatively small and only taken from two sites within a singular country, so decreasing our generalizability. I also questioned their rationale for triple therapy. They were subjects that were only diagnosed with the disease within the past 12 months. We don't typically see triple therapy in our general practice, and the American College of Rheumatology guidelines don't suggest initial triple therapy. By initiating triple therapy, you increase cost, pill burden, and potential side effect. I also have concerns with the use of liquid fish oil. There's currently no prescription liquid fish oil product manufactured in the United States. While we have over-the-counter liquid fish oil, there's concerns with regulation and the actual amount of the active ingredient. So despite a few factors that could impact clinical utility or generalizability, I thought this study was very well designed, and the findings are a good addition to our current body of literature.
Stephanie, having explored some of the study limitations, the results do suggest that fish oil might be useful when added to other disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs. Do you think we should routinely consider using fish oil as adjunctive therapy in most patients with rheumatoid arthritis? Are there particular patient populations you feel are unlikely to benefit?
Yeah, this study looked at patients with disease onset less than 12 months and initially on triple DMARD therapy. So in this specific population, benefit was demonstrated. However, we don't know from this study the benefit of fish oil with monotherapy in early stage disease management. So I don't know that we can generalize it out for use in other patient populations. There were previous studies that also showed modest reduction in number of tender joints and duration of morning stiffness in patients with rheumatoid arthritis with long-standing disease on conventional therapy. But the use of fish oil in these patients demonstrated no benefit in delayed progression to more intensive therapies, which kind of brought into question the results of these studies and whether or not they were more surrogate versus clinical in benefit. We also don't have a lot of great data in looking at the use of fish oil long term. So a lot of still unanswered questions. We don't know the exact dose of fish oil that provides the anti-inflammatory benefits. I think it would be interesting as well to kind of see whether or not we could have a study completed looking at non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications and fish oil being two separate treatment arms and seeing which of those would be better for augmentation of therapy. All in all, I think we have a good body of evidence to support the use of fish oil for benefit, but I don't think we're at the point of routinely recommending its use in rheumatoid arthritis management.
So, one of the potential problems with using dietary supplements such as fish oil is their lack of product consistency. And there are often significant variation in the constituents and the doses in these products, and occasionally the products don't even contain any active ingredients. So quality control remains a major concern with nutritional supplements. What fish oil product was used in this study, and what would you advise a patient or providers to look for if they wanted to use fish oil?
Yeah, that's a very valid concern, especially as we hear about supplements being pulled from major retailers for not containing the products that they're said to contain. When you recommend a supplement, you always have to keep in mind that these products aren't regulated by the FDA. You're really trusting the manufacturer and the label, and it seems like no two over-the-counter products are created equal. It can be really difficult to obtain the desired amount of EPA and DHA with over-the-counter products, providing the varying amounts of those omega-3 fish oils between brands. Really need to evaluate the amount of each component in the supplement by reading the label. We do have a FDA-approved prescription agent that provides 1 gram of omega-3 fish oil per capsule, and each of those capsules contain 465 milligrams of EPA and 375 milligrams of DHA. So by it being a prescription, we can be sure of quality and dose consistency. The concern with prescriptions generally tends to be cost or insurance coverage. We don't currently have an FDA-approved liquid agent available. We have that option of having over-the-counter liquid fish oil in the United States, but no prescription agent. In this study, decreased adherence was observed, and it's unclear whether or not it was due to the use of liquid oil, and their administration methods were quite complex with having to put certain amounts of the fish oil in, followed by another liquid, followed by the fish oil, so it's a little bit cumbersome. So it's unclear that whether that was affecting adherence or said capsule administration would be more convenient for the patient, or if it was due to tolerability of side effects. So kind of going back and forth between what we have available and what was used in the study, I do believe, and I know in my current practice, I do recommend over-the-counters. You can use over-the-counter capsule or liquid fish oil, or you could use prescription. I think that the use of over-the-counter supplements is acceptable, again, but you do have to suggest them with a grain of salt in the United States. Patients need to be educated to evaluate the bottle for the correct amount of EPA plus DHA specifically. I personally would feel more comfortable recommending the prescription fish oil. I do understand cost can be a factor. So for me, I would probably err on the side of caution and choose the prescription product. But I generally tend to discuss the risks and benefits of over-the-counter versus prescription product use with my patients, and just in order to develop therapeutic plans that they're comfortable with and are willing to continue and use effectively.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Kasten, for joining us today to discuss the use of fish oil in patients with rheumatoid arthritis. It's clear from your comments that you believe that fish oil may have some benefits in certain patients with rheumatoid arthritis, and it's certainly an option we all should be considering. We welcome your comments regarding the study and the commentary. If you'd like to share your thoughts, simply sign in and type them into the Add New Comments box, which appears directly below Dr. Kasten's and Mr. Shuna's commentary. Only iForumRx members can leave comments and participate in other interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iForumRx. It's free. Sign up today. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iForumRx, signing off.